2. Now, the word building is, or build, or built, they're all related. And those words are used in a variety of ways, whether men use them about a front or a storm that is building. The people who exercise, who work out, may be called bodybuilders. You know, that's kind of a word that would go both ways. I'm building my body every time I bend my elbow. I'm getting table muscles. I'm building that body. It's not, you know, that they need to clarify that it's a muscle builder, not just a body builder. Anyway, nobody will listen to me on that one. And then, of course, there's the construction. There's the construction aspect of building. And thank God for our building. Praise God. I still look over at this piece of property and dream how that's going to look. Amen. The birds will be returning. Well, the winter birds are still here, and we see them flying around with little twigs in their mouths and so on. They're building a nest. Pretty amazing how they can do that just with a beak and two scrawny feet, and it be so tight, woven so strong, and then the grass lining and down or whatever it is where the eggs make contact. Pretty incredible. This time of the year, I would take my class down to Soldotna Creek, and the fish and game tech would meet us there with little traps, and we'd trap minnows and identify if it's a silver or a pink or a king or whatever it is. And they have marks on them, even when they're just inches long, that you can identify which species is there. But also in the traps would be caddisfly larvae. Now, caddisfly larvae take little grains of sand and little pieces of wood and build a house. It's about an inch long and about a quarter inch across. And that's their protection from the little fry and trout and so on that are looking for a meal. And they, like a little crab, they'll crawl back into that little shelter. It's amazing. They hold it up. It's held together really well. I mean, it doesn't crumble or anything. Now, how in the world do they build that in the current of the water? But they're builders. So building has a lot of connotations, a lot of applications. But here's what I want us to look at tonight. Ephesians 2:19. You don't have to stand, but you do have to do this. Every time a word that has to do with building appears in this passage, you sing out, okay? Well, don't sing, but, you know, say it. Say it good and loud, okay? We're going to read from 19 down to 22, and every time there's a building word, you say it with me. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It's good to be in a household, isn't it? Amen. And are upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, of all of the building, of all of the wonderful jobs that are done on construction. And that's one of the satisfying things about building is you step back and you look at the job completed and you say, I helped with that. And it feels good, doesn't it, Brother Norm? Look at your house that you built so many years ago and the walkers and all of the different ones who have been involved in building in that way. It's satisfying. Don't you know the Lord is thrilled with the building that this is talking about? Amen. Amen. And the reason I know he would be thrilled about it is because he gave his blood for it. He gave his life for it. That's how serious he is about this building. Amen. And thank the Lord that he was committed to constructing a church. Now, we know he's a counselor. We know he's the Christ. We know he's the King of Kings. But praise God, he learned the skill of a carpenter because he was building. Amen. And perhaps some of his projects as he worked in the shop of his father Joseph, there were cribs and cradles that he would help construct as a craftsman. And maybe even crutches and canes that he would help fashion. And perhaps coffins for those who had passed on. And then the big projects, houses that would become homes for the happy couple and their little ones that would eventually start filling up the rooms and the laughter and the joy and the sorrow and tears that would come to those homes. But yet, he was involved in building that. Praise God. But even more than that, the lives that he helped to build, the lives that were lying in ruin, that he helped to build back up, praise God, and made such an incredible difference. But they ask the question, is not this the carpenter's son? How is he saying this? How is he doing that? Amen. But oh, more than remodeling, he was transforming. Praise God. And more than a temporary fix, he was making eternal life. And thank the Lord. We know that that power and that blessing is there. I remember reading about a chapel in Santa Fe. Haven't seen it. I just read about it. And it was completed quite a while ago, 1878, after 5 years of construction, of building. Everything was in place except for one item. And that was a staircase going up to where the choir was going to sit and be able to sing and project their voices into the chapel and so on. They tried to figure out how can we do a stairway to that choir loft. A traditional stairwell would be too big. A ladder would be too plain. And they just didn't know what to do. So they prayed. They prayed for an answer. A craftsman showed up, a carpenter. He began work and stayed with it for 8 months. And in that 8 months, he constructed a staircase with 2 complete spiraling turns up to the next, the level that the loft was in. And in that staircase, there were 33 steps, but there was no central support. There wasn't a pillar or a post that went up, and then they kind of stuck out from around it and so on. It was held together with wooden pegs, and it was also made of a fir that was not found in New Mexico. I don't know where this craftsman got it. But when he completed it after those 8 months, He disappeared. And so kind of an interesting story. I guess you can check it out. I read it somewhere, Loretto Chapel. You could maybe Google it and find out about it and so on. But pretty amazing. And I'm thankful that we have a carpenter that we look to help us build, to help us construct, to help us be where we need to be. And thank God he doesn't disappear when it seems like the job is almost done. He's there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. And we are part of the household. The household. I'm excited about the times that I read in the book of Acts about the whole household coming to the Lord. Amen. Cornelius and his household, which included servants and soldiers as well. And then the jailer and his household, and Lydia, praise God, a seller of purple, and her household, and the Lord opened her heart. Amazing how that God would work among the whole household. I'm believing the Lord for that. Amen. It would be our loved ones that would come and be a part of this household. We build upon the foundation. We have faith in the Word of God. And all the building is fitly framed together. I like that word, together. Praise God. I get strength from that. I get encouragement from that. Amen. And I know when I'm facing something, I don't face it alone. We face it together. Because I know you're praying. Praise God. And likewise, you can have the confidence that the church is praying for you. Because we're fitly framed together. We're builded together for a habitation of the Spirit. Amen. We want the Spirit to dwell in our building. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord is able to provide and minister in that way. And the Lord says, I will build my church. More than a stairway, more than something to cause wonder. And that certainly would cause wonder. But what the Lord does, so much more wonderful. And thank God for the work that he's doing in building his church. Got a call from Brother Farmer today, and he is excited about the building. Praise God. Brother Rick is working through Spinard with his contacts and arranging for the building and all of the material that's required because they can't go down to the hardware store and get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's not there. It's all got to be in this package. And how that the donations are coming in, the electrical material, Brother Rick and his contacts, being able to do that. Amen. The building of the church in Kiana is going to take place in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And thank God that power of the Lord is displayed even in that regard. Now, building lives, that's the Lord's work. And it's a work that is not done in a medical sense or a psychological sense or sociological sense that those elements would step in and say, oh, wait, Lord, you forgot something right here. No, I'm thankful the Lord does it all and does it well. Amen. And we put our trust in him. A building material for the church consisted of nails. It consisted of beams. And that's how the church was built. That's how the foundation was formed. Amen. Those nails may have been kept by the soldiers because they were used to the duty of crucifixion. Goodness, I don't know how you could get used to that, but that's the responsibility of those Roman soldiers. Or maybe they bought the nails from a blacksmith. Either way, the prophecy was fulfilled. Psalm 22 and 16, his hands and his feet being pierced. And John, decades later, after the actual crucifixion, John would say, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." And there's going to be a change then. There's going to be that change. Amen. And the nail prints, again, that was the evidence Thomas saw, and evidence that he demanded. And except I see the print of the nails in his hand and in his feet and the spear in his side, I'm not going to believe. And we give Thomas the benefit of the doubt that he wanted his own experience. He heard what they had to say. We saw him. He's alive. And Thomas holding out and saying, "I want to see him." Praise God. And thank the Lord there would be that power. But look at Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, where the Lord is explaining something and helping us to understand why some things were done the way that they were done, and why the aspect of crucifixion was the way that he was going to pay for our redemption. In verse 14, we'll start. Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, my Lord hath forgotten me." And in our humanity, it's easy to feel forsaken. It's easy to feel forgotten. And Zion, God's people, are making this cry. And not just their family, not just their mom, and so on, but the Lord forgot me. The Lord forsook me. And then the Lord asks a question in verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, a nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And the Lord acknowledges, yea, they may forget. And my goodness, it's sad today to see the effect of drugs on people's lives, to where all they can think about, not about their children, not about their work, not about their responsibilities, not about their home, not about their appearance or their health, but all they think about is one more fix, one more hit, or whatever the terminology is. I don't care to learn. It's sad to see the effects there. Yes, she may forget. And how in the world can a sweet little baby be put in a black garbage bag and thrown in a dumpster like was done at the harbor in Sitka some years back? She may forget. And it's very, very sad when that happens. But look what the Lord says. Yet will I not forget thee. If you underline in your Bible, underline that. Praise God. The Lord says, I'm not going to forget you. If even something as drastic as your mother forgetting you, and thank God for our moms, and again, we're going to honor them on Sunday, but our world is in sad, sad shape. And those things are a reality. But the Lord is still declaring, she may forget, that may happen, that disaster may take place, but I'm not going to forget you. And here's why. Here's why. Verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Not so that he would have a reminder, but so that we would remember. He paid such a huge price, such an enormous price, so that we would have salvation. Don't treat it lightly. Don't feel like it's just something, oh, well, Oh, that's baptism in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Ghost. That was wonderful, but that was a long time ago, and I've got lots of other things I need to do. Oh, no. He's not going to forget you. Make sure you don't forget him. Amen. Thank God for the power and the blessing of the Lord. I remember reading about a mother cat that rescued five kittens from a fire. You know how a mother cat will pick the kitten up by the scruff of its neck and carry it along, and the poor thing swinging back and forth and place it somewhere else. That's what that mother did. Into the fire, grabbing a kitten back out to safety, back into the fire, and so on. And a reporter just gushing about how a mother's love and would be so amazing. No way of measuring a mother's love, he wrote. But that same reporter could defend the budget of Planned Parenthood and the activities that go on there. Pretty amazing, isn't it? But the nails, the nails really weren't what held him there. It was his love for you. Because he knew, I'm going to build them into my church. I'm going to build them with my spirit and with my name, with my blood covering them, with my word guiding them. I'm going to build on them. Praise God. See, the purpose of nail prints is to build within us a faith and a confidence that God's not going to forget you. God's not going to forsake you. God's not going to leave you. Amen. He's going to fulfill his word on your behalf and do the work that he desires to do. Amen. Those beams that formed the cross and him being nailed to them, so traumatic, so torturous. Not a beautiful picture at all. But yet the forgiveness that he extended from there and his prayer, Father, forgive them. Oh my, how amazing, how incredible. All of the wonderful things that the Lord said, peace be still, and the waves would flatten out. Lazarus, come forth. All of those amazing things that he commanded in just a few words. I think, Father, forgive them is even greater. Amen. Because that includes me. Amen. It includes you. And oh, what a wonderful feeling of being forgiven. Praise God. Forgiven. And I'm thankful if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And that power and that blessing is still there in the goodness of God. And 1 John 1:9 still is fulfilled because of the care and the compassion of the carpenter and his building. Remember the spear that was thrust into his side? And out came blood and water. Again, building material. How in the world is that building material? That's not building material. But it was part of what the Lord would provide for us. Amen. The water of baptism in his name, the blood cleansing us and providing for us. In 1 John 5:8 saying, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and all agree in one. Thank the Lord for salvation. Praise God. Salvation. And so, the text that we read, verse 20, and you said it out loud, were built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets. In other words, the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul, it's the Word of God that we're built upon. It's His Word that is changeless, His Word that is eternal, His Word that is not going to fail. Amen. It's going to continue to build. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The builders rejected Him. And that's prophecy too from Psalm 118. Rejected Him, but oh, so precious to us. Thank God. Because of the solid rock that is the stable foundation Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, the Lord again, through the apostle, is declaring, you are God's building. And it's very emphatic, very straightforward, very final. You are God's building. Praise God. And then, verse 10, he issues a challenge. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We're building? Yeah. Amen. We're still using the foundation, and those words are still what we're constructing with. Praise God. Our faith is getting stronger. Our walk with God is becoming more experienced and more complete. And that power and that blessing of the Lord is coming forth in a greater way. Praise God. And so, since we're building for eternity, use materials that are eternal. Amen. And that's why the admonition is made here about building wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious stones. It's not the actual gold, silver, and precious stones that you know that we would talk about in terms of jewelry and finery and so on, but it's the eternal materials that the Word of God is wanting us to understand is so important. Put an ageless altar in your heart, an altar that's not going to wear down. It's not going to fall apart. It's not going to crumble from disuse. Put an unshakable faith within your heart. Amen. And let it affect your head. Let it affect your whole life. Let it affect your wallet. Praise God. Every area, an unshakable faith. And then when marriage comes, praise God, it'll be loving and it'll be lasting because you've got a good foundation, a strong foundation. You're not forsaking that foundation for something more modern, more relevant, more up-to-date. No, this foundation is what we're building upon. Praise God. A safe and secure home that becomes a haven. Amen. And a place of outreach. A place you share. Praise God. And the blessings of the Lord come in an incredible way. Verse 22 of our text talked about being an habitation of God through the Spirit. The Bible tells us we are His temple. Now, the Lord said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They were incredulous. They stated the fact that it took 46 years to build the temple and you're going to build it in 3 days? Well, even if He got all the fishermen and all the tax collectors and made them all construction workers, it wouldn't happen in 3 days. But He wasn't talking about a temple in the natural sense. Talking about His body. And that's why when the Scripture says, you are the temple, He's talking about our body. And that's why it's important to have that foundation of faith because of the power that the Lord would reveal in you, praise God, and how He would make you the temple, that you are bought with a price. And important to make that connection. Everything you build costs money in the natural sense. It costs, and that's why some things aren't built as readily as possible, because it costs too much. And lots of things. There's lots of things that are withheld because of the cost. But the Lord paid the cost for you, and you are that temple. There are a lot of people, a lot of religions that boast of their ornate buildings or ornate temples. And you go to Salt Lake, you go to wherever, and look at these buildings. And indeed, they're amazing. They're beautiful. But nothing is as powerful or beautiful as a person becoming the temple of the Holy Ghost, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. And the pyramids and Taj Mahal are tombs of the dead. Thank God Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive and doing a tremendous work through his Spirit. Praise God. Don't quench that Spirit. Don't grieve that Spirit. Both are possible in the Word of God. Both say that that is a potential that we live with. Grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. No, we want to be a habitation of the Spirit. Amen. Because that's what the Lord wants to build in us. Praise God. And that power that continues there. And the hope of heaven, John 14, beautiful and amazing. It starts out, let not your heart be troubled. It ends the same way, let not your heart be troubled. And certainly those are important words for where we are right now. In our world, in our situation, in our conditions that we live in. But oh, the amazing promise. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I think his words were carefully selected to provide, again, a foundation of hope, an anchor of hope. That we'd be able to hold on to the promise that he gave us, the instructions that he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Make sure it's a habitation of the Spirit. Make sure you're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I'm the chief cornerstone. I'm the foundation that you can build on. Praise God. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. That's amazing, isn't it? He said that over 2,000 years ago. How long did it take the universe to be created? 6 days. And this has been prepared for us now for over 2,000 years. Don't you know it's going to be amazing? Don't you know it's going to be mind-boggling? Praise God. Incredible. Not just from the standpoint of construction and some of you with your fine craftsmanship and your ability to just make things so nice, so fitting so well and all of that. It's not just going to be that you're going to be able to enjoy. Oh, our loved ones. Amen. The angelic host and then certainly the Lord himself being able to praise him and worship him and love him and thank him because he's the one who said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, I like that I am, there you may be also. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God for the power that he will use to build, amen, that eternal home. I want to see it, don't you? Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. The crystal sea, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, the streets of gold. Again, wealth beyond imagination. But that's not what makes heaven heaven. It's the Lord. And to be able to praise him for his blood, to worship him for his name, to give thanks to him for his Spirit, I don't know if we're going to recall his word. I don't see why not. It's all going to be fulfilled, and it'd be just another point to worship over. And be thrilled about how he fulfilled it. Amen. And it didn't pass away because it's our foundation. Our foundation to build upon. Praise God. Now, you have seen buildings under construction. Brother Steve is building now. And to go by there and to see the property cleared and the materials there on the ground and the structure going up. You know, we stop and watch and see the progress. Or any other big project, you know, we're not in a big city, so we don't see the high rise with the crane in the center and the material going up and then the hook going back down and all of that. In Malawi, they didn't have one of those. It was interesting. They had a ramp that was made the old-fashioned way. They cut down trees, skinny trees, and they nailed them together. And they had this big trestle. And it was high. I wouldn't want to have fallen off of it going up to the building. And I thought, that's a way to get it done. They didn't have one of those big cranes. So they built this trestle that guys running back and forth, materials, manpower. Amazing to see things under construction. People are watching you. People are watching you construct. People are watching you build. People are watching how you handle the materials. They're watching what material you use. They're watching. They may laugh. They may think, what a waste of time. Look at him working over there. We get out here having fun with us. They may mock. They may scoff. But I would imagine most of them secretly admire your dedication, your consecration, your unwavering faithfulness. And probably even wish they had the backbone to do something like that. But they're watching you as you build. Amen. And they may come alongside and just say, can you help me? I need to do something. I need to change. My family needs. I need. My job needs. You know, whatever it might be. And you will be able to answer because you will continue to build. Praise God. Let's come and pray here. I hope it's not just a formality that this is what we do. I hope we understand and recognize this is our heart reaching for the things of the Lord and how He desires to bless us when we reach out to Him, to strengthen us when we call upon Him. Praise God. And He hasn't lost His skills. He hasn't forgotten His abilities. He still knows how to put a life together. He still knows how to help a marriage. He still knows how to heal a home. Praise God. And He wants to use you to be a light shining. Let's ask Him for His help. Let's ask Him for His ability. Yes. Oh.